Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Live to Love. When you hear the word love, what do you think? Do you think romance, relationships, and marriage? That is a kind of love, but there is also another kind of love that Jesus taught, a tangible love that you can share with the whole world. When he was asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus said to love God. Later, he challenged his own disciples to take it even further and told them they should love one another. Who do you need to love today? Maybe it's your spouse, a friend, a coworker. People are all around us, and God wants to show you how to walk in his love. Now, here's Joyce from her series, Live to Love.
Nobody can do everything, but together we can do everything that needs to be done. No one of us can do everything. But here's the thing, God is not gonna put it on your heart to do it if it's not right for you to do it. He won't tell you to do everything. God's not gonna tell you to kill yourself and wear yourself out and never take care of yourself and not paying attention to your family and not paying attention to your health. We need to stay focused. We need to know who the devil is using to try to steal our time, but we also need to know when God is tapping us on the heart saying, I need you in this situation. And it's good to have a plan. I am a very planned person. I could tell you what I am doing for the next 10 days, but I'll tell you something. I also get out of God's way if he's got another plan, because I lived enough that way, and I know that life doesn't work out that good that way. If you've got a don't disturb me, I don't want to get involved sign on your life, then please make a decision tonight to take it off and say to God, I want you to know, God, if you need me today, I am available to you. This is my plan, but my plan is up to you. You can make it work or you can interrupt it. Come on, would you begin to do that? Well, I mean, honestly, let's begin to pray that every day. Father, this is my plan today. If this agrees with you, then bless it and make it work. But I just want you to know that you're free to interrupt me if you want to, because I want to be available for you. Start saying this every morning. God, what can I do for you today? Instead of giving God your list of 20 things that he's got to do for you to keep you happy and saved that day, how about adding to your prayer list, God, what can I do for you today? It's a scary thought because we think he might tell us something. Here's a good one to pray. What do I have in my possession that you'd like me to give away? Uh-oh. Let's just don't be bucket plunkers. What is a bucket plunker? Well, that's the person who, you know, throws a little something in the bucket when the plate passes them by on Sunday morning, and many times something that's not even really meaningful to them. And then they think because they've done that, that's a big deal. I think that our whole life needs to be open to God. You don't have to worry. God's not ever going to leave you without anything. The more you bless other people, the more you'll have. Blessings will chase you down and overtake you. I love this story of the Good Samaritan. I said last night, there's a book called In His Steps. And that's been a pretty popular book for a lot of years. And it's like learning how to walk as Jesus walked. But you know what? I think we should have a book that studies the stops of Jesus, not just the steps of Jesus. Because I'll tell you, he was interruptible. We're going to look at several places where he was interrupted. It's pretty amazing how many times Jesus got interrupted in one day. Matthew 8, 1 through 3. When Jesus came down from the mountains, great throngs followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and prostrating himself, worshiped him and saying, Lord, if you're willing, you're able to cleanse me. And he reached out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be thou clean. Interruption number one. Verse 5, as Jesus went into Capernaum, a centurion came up to him and said, Lord, my servant boy is lying at home paralyzed and distressed with intense pain. And Jesus said, I'll come and restore him. But the centurion replied to him, Lord, I'm not worthy or fit to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant boy will be cured. This is one of the scriptures that I lean on, and I have a prayer before God that I've had before him for years, that when I preach the gospel, people will be healed physically. I believe there's an anointing in the Word of God that brings healing to our lives. Jesus didn't even have to go and lay hands on him. The guy said, speak the word only, and my servant boy will be healed. Verse 14 through 16. And when Jesus went into Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying there ill with a fever, and he touched her, and the fever left her, and she got up, began to wait on them. And then when evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored all to health who were sick. And then in verse 16, it says, now it was evening. So we're getting toward the end of the day. They get in a boat to cross over to the other side. And in verse 24, suddenly, behold, there arose a violent storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered up by the waves, and Jesus was having a little nap. I guess after a day like that, I'd want a nap too. How about you? And the disciples went and woke him up, saying, Lord, rescue us. We're drowning. Oh, ye of little faith. And it just goes on and on. It goes all the way through chapter 9. One thing after another, after another, after another. He'd take a few steps and get interrupted. He'd take a few steps and get interrupted. He would take a few steps and get interrupted. Now, I don't imagine it's going to be to that degree in any of our lives, but the point is made that Jesus was interruptible. And he stopped for hurting people. He stopped for hurting people. He listened to hurting people. Amen? The greatest thing in the world is love. One new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Now, to love people takes a sacrifice. Romans 8, 17 and 18 says, if we want to share his glory, we have to be willing to share his suffering. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to talk about suffering too long, because I know that's not a very pleasant subject. But suffering almost always comes before reward. You might say now that I'm living in the glory days of my ministry. Who would not want to do what I'm doing? But let me tell you something. It took a long time to get here. And there was a lot of pain and a lot of tears and a lot of rejection and a lot of people who came against me. I'm not preaching on that tonight, so I won't begin to tell you. But I tell you, there is suffering before there's glory. You say, well, I thought Jesus bore all my suffering. Yes, he did bear a lot of our suffering, but there's certain things that we still have to go through, and they help us, they mature us. So let me just give you some examples of some suffering that you might experience so nobody takes it out of context. Forgiving someone is a painful thing to do. When somebody has hurt you really, really, really bad, to be good to them after they've hurt you, to even talk to them after they've hurt you, to even be in their airspace after they have hurt you, is painful. How many of you agree with that? All right. Being patient with an annoying person makes me suffer. Because to keep my mouth shut is suffering for me. Continuing to give to someone who never does anything for me, that's suffering. Taking care of elderly parents who mistreated you in your childhood, that's not easy to do, but God expects us to do it. He does. Yes, he does. Go read your Bible. Doing a favor for someone that's going to cause you to sacrifice something that you want to do is a type of suffering. Now, these are all not horrible things, but they are things that we have to go through if we want to be like Jesus. The main reason why we don't really walk in this love that we like to talk about and preach about is because it always costs us something. It's always an effort. There's some energy, some money, some time, a little bit of suffering, a little bit of self-will that has to go by the wayside in order for us to walk in love. And if you don't understand that tonight, then it's going to be a great message. You're going to love the seminar. You're going to clap and cheer. You may even buy the bracelet, but you will not go home and do it. That's why I need 4 sessions to keep at it over and over and over, because I'm concerned if I don't just keep pounding it that you'll go home and forget it. And that's not going to be what we want to happen. We want you to go home and live this out in your schools, in your neighborhoods, at your jobs. Those are where the people are that need help. Here's an example I like to use. What would happen if a certain employee had really mistreated you gossiped about you, made fun of you because you were a believer, then got the promotion that you deserved, has never even so much as given you a kind word, and now you happen to hear that their car is broken down, and it's so bad that it's going to take a lot of money to fix it, and they don't have the money to fix it, and you kind of feel like God is kind of rumbling around in there saying, why don't you offer to pick them up and take them home from work every day till they get this situation fixed? You know how I respond to that, or how I used to? I don't anymore. That cannot be God. That is not God. I mean, sometimes we're trying to rebuke the devil and it's God trying to do something in our life. Where did we get the idea that God's never going to ask us to do anything hard or anything that's going to cost us? So what's going to happen with that employee who's lost and going to hell, by the way? And they've been making fun of you because you are the company Christian. What's going to happen when you go to them and say, I heard you were having car trouble, and I just want you to know that I would be happy to pick you up every morning and take you home every night? Well, are you sure? Oh, yeah, it's no problem. Well, where do you live? Well, over here. Well, you know, I live way over here. Well, that's no problem. I don't mind going out of my way for you. I'll be happy to help you. Now you've just had a witness. Now you have added some fruit to your Jesus pin and your tape recorder and your bumper sticker. Amen? And that's what we don't need. We don't just need a bunch of religion. We need real stuff that we take out of the church with us into the world. Let me tell you what Jesus said about religious people. And you know, just so you understand what I'm talking about, Jesus didn't die so we could have a religion. I don't care if it's Catholic or Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal or Charismatic or whatever it is. Which even all that really is silly. I mean, you know, we don't need to be divided up in a bunch of groups with all of our own little special names on it. I mean, we're the body of Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, you know, Sister Joyce, I heard you're one of those charismatic folks, and there's a possibility you speak in tongues, and I just don't agree with that. Well, then fine, just don't do it. We can love each other anyway. Well, who's right? I want to know which one of these religions is right. None of them are 100% right. Not mine, not yours, not anybody else's. We're doing the best we can to understand the best that we can, and as long as we've got the important stuff right, amen.
Thanks for listening. Learn the value of walking in love with today's offer, Live to Love. This teaching series is available now as either a 4-CD set or digital download for a gift of $20 or more in U.S. funds, and we do accept all major credit cards. You can order today's offer from our website at joycemeyer.org, or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-789-0089. Again, the number is 1-800-789-0089.
Make plans now to spend your Friday and Saturday with Joyce. Inspiring teaching, heartfelt worship, and encouraging behind-the-scenes moments at the Joyce Meyer Conference.
If you want to get happy, get yourself off your mind.
Coming to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, March 16th and 17th at Healing Place Church. For more information and a complete conference schedule, visit joycemeyer.org/conference or call 1-866-SEE-JOYCE.
Thanks again for listening to Enjoying Everyday Life. Our mission here at Joyce Meyer Ministries is simple: sharing Christ and loving people. Remember, together we can do more.